Welcome, everyone. So happy to see your faces or our Hope Story Circle today. This is hosted by the Peace Alliance. The Peace Alliance empowers civic action toward a culture of peace. And these Hope Story Circles have been a space for people to share their emerging stories, especially during this uncertain time as we're navigating through so many things that are happening in this year of 2020. Today we have a wonderful guest named Jill McManacle, who is the founder of Kids for Peace, and she's going to share with us today. But first, we're going to have Yelena lead us in a meditation just to get grounded and centered and come together. Yelena?
Thank you, Terry, and welcome, Jill, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you present in this call, and hello to everybody listening to this call as a podcast. Today, we're going to take a moment just before Jill shares a story with us to just pause and settle into our bodies and check in with ourselves. So the invitation is to really invite a body posture that is upright, yet not uptight. Posture that Pema Chodron calls open heart, strong back. Sitting up with dignity and openness to all experience. Letting shoulders and your neck kind of drop in relaxation, and inviting your jaw perhaps to unclench, and allowing the space between the eyes to soften, and perhaps even smoothing it gently with your hands. You're welcome to close your eyes or gaze down in front of you and just begin by checking in with your mind, checking in with yourself. And maybe just inviting an inquiry, what is the attitude of the mind right now? Noticing if the mind is perhaps busy, kind of still trying to arrive to this moment. Settling, maybe it's still not fully awake. Whatever it might be, just it's all welcome. Just notice it and mark it with your awareness without a judgment to whatever is arising. What is the attitude of your mind right now? And are you experiencing any physical sensation in this moment? Any tightness, relaxation, agitation? Whatever it might be, just notice it and mark it with your awareness without offering judgment to whatever is arising. What are you feeling? Any particular mood present? And can you be in contact with where and how any particular feeling is landing in your body? Just taking a moment to be present with what you're feeling right now. taking a few intentional breaths that feel soothing to you. And just opening to the sensation of breath coming in and out of your body. Inhaling love, exhaling peace. Open heart, strong back. Inhaling compassion, exhaling hope. Open heart, strong back. With that opening, open your heart to the story and welcome Jill to our Hope Story Circle. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you, Yelena. Well, I was feeling good before you did that, and now I feel my open heart and I feel my strong back, and I feel absolute gratitude for being here with all of you. And this morning for me, maybe this afternoon or this evening for you, wherever you are. I'm really grateful to Terry, especially for inviting me to your piece on this morning. Terry and I go way back with the Peace Alliance, and it's just such a blessing to have the support that Terry's provided Kids for Peace and me personally all of these years. And I'm so grateful to the Peace Alliance for really igniting my peace work, my intentional peace work. And so I'm very grateful to be here and be able to share the story of an offshoot of the Peace Alliance, which is Kids for Peace. And hopefully some hope for you all. I'm hoping for some hope. And also a story that has really helped me and taught me recently. And this is definitely a time of transformation right now. I think whether we want it or not, it's happening. I have been trying to be like the water lately and just flow with it and enjoy bumping up against the rocks and the shore and trying to get into the flow of the middle and stay in there. It's a journey with all that's going on, and I keep myself really inspired because of the kids I get to work with. So I'm really lucky. Like, if anybody gets to work with kids at any point, I just to get a little touch with them. They're so full of energy and hope and optimism and wisdom, and I know that I get fueled by them. And if you could, we do peace fingers. I know I can't see everybody's screens, but we're running Camp Kids for Peace right now. So when we want to hear affirmative things, we say, raise your peace fingers if. So I know I can't see everybody. Maybe you can just give me raise your hand if, or raise your peace fingers if. Please raise your peace fingers if you have heard of Kids for Peace before, if you're familiar with us. Great. So it looks like many, but not all. Most but not all. Wonderful. Get some thumbs up. Hello. Great to see you. So Kids for Peace, just a little bit of background before I get into a story that it really has opened my heart and kept me challenged my strong back, was Kids for Peace were 14 years old. We started in 2006 in my backyard in Carlsbad, California. And we started, it was post 9/11, there was so much fear in the world, and just wanted to have an outlet for kids to be able to create the world that they want to create, that they want to live in. I'm a former school teacher, my kids at the time were young, and I've always been, my personal hero is Gandhi, and Gandhi has a beautiful quote that says, if we're to achieve a lasting peace, we must begin with the children. So tying that all together, we pulled kids together in my backyard. My kids, I think, were like 5 and 7 at the time. And we asked them what they want their world to look like. And we asked them, what do you want to do to make that vision come true? And from that, we created our peace pledge. And from that, we just got busy creating a world of peace. The key there And this is something with my co-founder, Danielle Graham. At the time, she was a high school junior, brilliant young woman. She said, Jill, we have to listen to the kids. My adult mind wanted to control everything. Like, I wanted to say, okay, this will be the agenda. This is what we will do. These are the activities for the kids. And she said, you know, I appreciate that, Jill. I know that you, with your education background and you have your master's, and she goes, you know, it's great that you have all that. She goes, but let's see what happens if we just listen to the kids. So that just gave me chills again. So that's become the foundation of what we've done with Kids for Peace, is we listen to the kids and we help them have the platform for their pure, kind, compassionate voices to be heard. And then we give them the platform to put all of those thoughts and words into action. Talking is great. It's an important part of peace building. Kids really want to move beyond just talking. They want to do. So our tagline is actually uplifting our world through love and action. And the action is a big, big piece of Kids for Peace. So all along, we kept, back then and now, we listen to the kids. We hear how they feel about what's going on in the world. And then we give them the support as parents and adults can do. Most of our kids, they range from 3 years old up to 18 years old. Big gap there. Our 3, 4, 5 year olds can't drive yet. So, you know, we have to drive them to the service projects that they want to do. Sometimes they need help putting a stamp on a letter that's going to go to maybe a beloved senior who might be lonely right now. So adults help where we need to fill that gap, the things that the kids can't necessarily do. But really letting kids be the ones that lead the way. We did start with the one chapter in my backyard, and we have now grown to over, we currently have 150 active chapters. We have our programs reach 122 countries. With all of our programs combined, we last year impacted, actively engaged 15 million kids. So it's really grown from this backyard club of caring kids into this worldwide movement of kids who want to do something to move the trajectory of our world into one of peace, kindness, love, and respect. I rarely get down because I can just remember that we have these kids everywhere who want this world that is good, kind, fair, safe, equitable for everybody. So with our chapters, they meet regularly. They meet just like if you look similar to a scout model. They meet, we have chapters in schools, we have chapters in neighborhoods, we have chapters in religious institutions, we have chapters in affiliate chapters like in Boys and Girls Clubs and the YMCA. So all different makeups of these chapters of kids. And the thing that's in common with all of them is they're putting the Peace Pledge into action. And if I may, I would love to share with you what the Peace Pledge is so you can know what our kids are, what their values are. And this Peace Pledge was created by the kids. So if you can give me peace figures, are you okay with me sharing the Peace Pledge right now? It's about 40 seconds. Yeah. Enough peace fingers. Okay, I'm gonna go. And if you feel like you can put peace fingers up, our kids do that when we say the Peace Pledge. This is the Peace Pledge created by the kids for the whole world. Okay, light there, okay. I pledge to use my words to speak in a kind way. I pledge to help others as I go throughout my day. I pledge to care for our earth with my healing heart and hands. I pledge to respect people in each and every land. I pledge to join together as we unite the big and small. I pledge to do my part to create peace for one and all. So that's our Peace Pledge. That is put into action all over the world. We have chapters in Iraq. I just got the most delightful pictures from our Iraq chapter, which you can find on our Facebook, our Kids for Peace Facebook page. We have chapters in Pakistan. We have chapters throughout the continent of Africa, very heavily in Kenya, Ghana, Uganda. We have chapters in China, in India, in Australia, in Canada, and throughout the United States. And it's really beautiful that all over the kids are putting those same words into action. And so whenever I start to get a little down, I just remember that. I'm like, we're okay. We're okay. Even though time seems so crazy, we have these mighty peace builders that are coming up through the ranks, our next generation. So we are okay. So recently, with all of our chapters, we have in Carlsbad, where I live, we actually have 5 active chapters here. So it's a big hub here. In Carlsbad, we have the great support of our entire city, of our school board. Our mayor is behind us. And it's, you know, really nice. In Carlsbad, we say that we're the capital of kindness. Because we started the Great Kindness Challenge here, and the city really beautifully supports all that our kids do. Interestingly, Carlsbad is, when I moved here, it was a very conservative city. It was mostly Republican leading, and we're right next to Camp Pendleton, so we have a really proud military community here, and we have, it's a big place of industry, and a lot of really progressive companies are here. But when I came, it was really, it was a very, very conservative place. I was born and raised to 2 really beautiful Republican parents, who still are very proud Republican parents. And they really helped me to see that we could all have different perspectives and to hear why they believe what they believe. So I've carried that with me, and I've been very sensitive to that in building and helping the structure of Kids for Peace and the foundation. I wanna make sure that every child everywhere, no matter what their parents' background is, no matter what their political leanings are, no matter what their religious leanings are, or aren't, whatever they're, if they're rich, they're poor, if they have resources, don't have resources, one parent, no parent, multiple parents, whatever. We want to create a platform, a community for all children to know that they have a place and they have a voice. And so that's been part of the foundation of Kids for Peace as well. So with all of that, in here in Carlsbad, once all the racial uprisings were happening after the killing of George Floyd. Like everywhere, you know, people were disgusted, people were horrified, people were saddened, and it wasn't just the adults, kids too. You know, kids see what's going on, they hear what's going on, and it's difficult for so many people, and as it should be. I mean, that's also the good news. I mean, sometimes this pain is so purposeful, and we also try to help our kids to understand that too, to not be afraid of the pain, but lean into it. Why is this hurting, and what can we do about it? We don't ever want it to stay in it, but we do need to honor it. And so we were approaching this current uprising in that spirit. And our mayor of Carlsbad, who's a really proud Republican man himself, has been a champion of Kids for Peace all along. He reached out to us. There were talks of some protests are going to be happening in Carlsbad. Anybody who's aware knows that there's a lot of discourse. There was a lot of angst, confusion that was going on. And he came to us and said, Jill, what can Kids for Peace do? Can Kids for Peace please help to give an outlet for people to express how they're feeling and to bring people together. He was feeling the division that was happening over this particular issue. And he says, what can Kids for Peace do? So our first idea was actually to come up, we came up with a vigil. We thought that would be very kid friendly. We wanted to do everything in a way that is, that's appropriate for families, appropriate for kids. And we came up with the idea of a vigil because it's the middle of the pandemic. And this is before all of the big protests started happening. And so we thought we could do a safe vigil. We had the whole concept that we were going to do, put like circles around that families can gather in their circles and have guest speakers from the community, from the general area, have some kid performers, and have 8 minutes, 45 seconds of silence in honor of George Floyd's killing and the suffering that he felt and experienced. And we put a whole proposal together, and the mayor said, I like it. He ran it by the city, and they said, we like it, but it's too much because of different reasons. And he said, okay, that's not going to work. Can we instead, can we let your all the kids create a video just sharing what they're feeling and a place of hope for the adults in the world? And so we're like, okay, yes, we can do that. So we put out a call to our local kids and the neighboring kids. We didn't want to get 15 million entries because that would be too much. So we limited the scope of this call for our video to the San Diego region, and put out an email to the parents. Like everybody else, we're working remotely, so we're not meeting with the kids like we usually do. So we put together an email. We asked them to have the kids, if they're feeling called to speak to this current issue, and what we saw is the systemic racism in our country, we invited them to send us a video clip that would be, and they could either use a template of I feel blank about the racism in our country and world, or they could say I stand for blank, or I stand with blank, or they could just speak from their hearts. So we said, send all whatever is true to your child. We never ever tell kids, we don't give them scripts and say this for the cause, because we want whatever the cause to be the kids' cause, to be theirs, for it to belong to them. So in some entries started coming in, and we also got an email that came in, and it was from a very upset parent who's a parent from one of our local chapters. His daughter is in the local chapter. And he said that he will be removing his child from Kids for Peace. He felt that we were pushing our political agenda on kids. He felt that we were gaslighting kids. I meant to look that up again, the definition. When I looked it up, it was so surprising to me that to have Kids for Peace and gaslighting in the same sentence. But basically feeling that we were using the kids and manipulating the kids for our own purposes. That made me really sad, because knowing that the care and attention we've always given to having it be the children's voice, but I also know that I'm an adult, and I knew I need to look at my part, like, is this true? Are we doing this? And I checked into that. Like, whenever somebody brings something to me, I'm like, let me check. Let me make sure. I never just automatically say, you're crazy. No, that's not happening. So I personally looked into it, and I still stand by the belief that we for sure are not gaslighting our children, and we're for sure not manipulating our children or using our children anyway. But it's good to hear this other perspective to check in with ourselves. So I used that opportunity, and I just felt like we're doing okay. Doing well, doing great, actually, giving the kids the platform to speak for themselves. So in this very impassioned email that this parent said, he concluded by saying that he has a lot of statistics that can show me that why this isn't, that I'm not seeing it correctly, basically, why I have a skewed perspective of what's happening. And he has proof that I'm not seeing it right. And so he said if he wanted to have a conversation, that he was open to that. And I'm like, absolutely, we're going to have a conversation. And I really honored him for writing that email, for sharing how he felt, for having me check into my own perspective on the whole issue. And I really honored him for not just pulling, just yanking his kid, being mad at Kids for Peace, maybe probably going out saying bad things, maybe writing on some blog about, this organization that is trying to manipulate kids, but instead offering a conversation. So I said, yes, please come over to my home. Let's talk. And so he did, just on Wednesday. So this is all very fresh. So just on Wednesday, I invited his wife and himself, and then invited the chapter leader also. The chapter leader who knows the child well, that was involved, that was going to be taken out of Kids for Peace. And I don't know if I said this, but in our 14 years, I've never, ever had a parent want to take a child out of Kids for Peace. So I was also really curious about that, like, you know, that this cause is so powerful that it would invoke that kind of a outcome there in such a emotional response. And again, I'm like, this is good. Like it is such a big cause that we have to really, again, lean into it and be not afraid to have people question all that's going on. So I invited this man over. I let him know that he's welcome with an open heart and a strong back. And I started the conversation by first honoring both his wife and him for having the courage to speak out. And that I just really, with all of my heart, was grateful to him for that. And I reminded him that we're an organization of peace builders and that we can never have peace in the world if we're not willing to meet together with people who have differing perspectives than us. And really thanked him for that. And I said, this is an opportunity for us. And I said, it's an opportunity for the whole world. Like, this is what we need to be doing right now. We need to be coming together with the people who have very strong differing perspectives. I wasn't approaching it from a perspective like, I'm going to be on this corner and you're going to on this side and you're on that side. My perspective was, I was approaching it as Jill McManigle, the executive director of Kids for Peace. And my perspective is there's a space for everybody to come together. And when children have, when they see a hurt in the world, they want to respond to it. When they see that there's an injustice in the world, they want to respond to it. So I was coming from Jill McManigle, the executive director, not Jill McManigle, the activist, the personal citizen. So I, for this point of this conversation, I really kept that separate. That's there. I started the conversation after gratitude for him by asking him if we can find some common ground to start with, knowing that there, of course, are so many things that we have in common. And just to name that, to, you know, help to remind ourselves how much, no matter what our beliefs are, there are so many things that we have that are similar. And so I first said that we both have kids, we both care about our kids, and we agreed to that. We both live in Carlsbad, we agreed to that we have that in common. And we're both feel grateful to live in this beautiful city right next to the ocean. We agreed with that. We both agreed that we want all kids to grow up in a world that is safe and loving and kind and good. And from some of those commonality, we went from there. And I said, please share with me how you're feeling about this. Please tell me, educate me. I haven't heard your perspective. So let me know what you believe about this and what you what this proof is. He said he had proof, and he came with a whole folder of statistics and proof, his proof. And a lot of the statistics were accurate statistics in my perspective, but wasn't the whole story. And so I was able to say, yes, that is true. I read those same statistics. But why do you think that is the case? But why? So just going with conversation there and really keeping my heart open to hearing what he had to say. It was probably 75% listening, even though right now I'm doing 100% of the talking. The conversation with him was heavy with just hearing him. He wanted to be heard. He wanted to know that we will even consider looking at what his perspective was. And he wanted to know that we weren't going to be influencing his child with our political agenda. And I assured him that what we're doing isn't political at all. It is, it's not, not at all. If kids do things that they want to do that have a political outcome, they are welcome to do that as their own entity within Kids for Peace, if that makes any sense. But Kids for Peace, we're not political. We are youth empowerment. We are a peace building. We are a organization of kindness and compassion, and we want every child to know that they can create the world that they want to create. I have never met a child that does not want to create a world that is loving and kind and good and fair. Never. I've never, in all of my 56 years here on earth, met anybody who doesn't want to create that? And the father was able to see that as well. And as the conversation went, it was about an hour and a half conversation. As we got to the end, I said to him, if you feel that you want your daughter to be able to remain in Kids for Peace, she is welcome with complete open arms. You know, we would love to have her stay within Kids for Peace if you feel good and right. And both the mother and father said, we would love to have her stay in Kids for Peace. We are so happy to hear where you're coming from. And we're happy to hear that she will just be able to continue her compassionate heart. You know, she's a very, very kind child also. And he's like, yes. And he said, will you continue to learn about my perspective? And I said, yes. I said, I absolutely will. So we shared, he said, will you watch this one documentary? And I said, yes. And I said, I invite you to watch this documentary that I recently watched that I really learned about a lot. I invited him to watch The 13th by Ava, I always mess up her last name. It's a great, if you haven't seen that documentary, it's a fantastic documentary called The 13th. It's on Netflix. So he said, yes, I will watch it. So that was last Wednesday. We're going to check in each other with each other this coming up Wednesday. Having the ability to come together felt like a huge success to me. Having him, both his wife and himself, say that his daughter can remain in Kids for Peace felt like a huge, huge success. And knowing that our video was made, and the video has been put out into the world. It's lovely. And I just want to end with the closing words of the video from the children, because they really speak it and say it the very best. So on our video, which is called Kids for Peace, we stand for peace, love, and equality. That's the name of the video. And the very last child to speak is this precious little redhead child, big, bright strawberry redhead kid. And I say it because his quote, it'll make sense why I'm mentioning that. So at the very end of the video, he says, I'm against racists. I am with Black Lives Matter, because you shouldn't judge somebody by the color of their skin, the color of their hair, the color of their religion, but the color of their hearts. And I invite us all to keep listening to the wisdom of our kids, that we stick with our hearts and keep our hearts open hearts, strong backs, as we go forth as peace builders to have these conversations to move us all forward to a place of love, peace, kindness, and compassion. Thank you very much for letting me share that story.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Jill.
Yelena, do you want to get us into the breakouts?
Thank you, Jill. Yeah, I just want to invite actually a moment to kind of go back into our own self and see how this is landing for you all, and maybe opening to the inner child, to what Jill was saying. You know, it's like listening to children. So can we listen to the inner child in ourselves? And how is this landing for you all? What are you feeling now? What are the physical sensations present in your body right now? What is the attitude of the mind now? And with that, I would love to invite us into a small group conversations in the breakout rooms. And something that we thought would be an inquiry to invite us in is around how do you invite yourself into those challenging and difficult conversations? Where are you coming from in your habitual way of responding to conflict? And what are some challenging conversations that are awaiting for you to have? So how are you inviting yourself into those conversations? What are some of the habitual, where are you coming from? Thank you, Terry, for typing it all in. And when you go into these breakout rooms, just the agreements are around the speaking from the heart, speaking from that color of your heart, speaking from your story, and listening, opening that heart and listening from the heart, listening to the story of others fully, and saying just enough, and keeping confidentiality. And I also invite you to, when you come in, just as somebody shares, after they share, just invite a pause, invite a silence for a moment. Let silence be your part of the group too. Let it be a guest in your group so that your conversation can land into some silence as well before another person speaks. Yeah. Liz, anything else you want to add?
No, I think you said beautifully. Yeah, thank you, Yelena.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, so I'm going to open the breakout rooms. I'm trying to have three people in each room. It might not work out just right the first time. So if you get a second invitation, it's a good one. That means I'm trying to make adjustments. So go ahead and accept the invitation to the breakout rooms and accept a second one if it comes. We're running a little bit short on time, so we're gonna have about 10 minutes in the rooms. So try to have enough time for everyone to share. And I'm opening the rooms now. And welcome back, everyone. So, everyone is on mute, but you're welcome to unmute yourself if you choose to speak. What's alive for people from the breakout? Who'd like to share? Linda?
I see Linda. Oh, Linda, yeah.
Let me unmute myself.
There. I did. You're on.
Thank you. Jill, I just want to say thank you so much for what you're doing for children. I'm right now in my studio, and I just worked with a group of students who are doing their stories about COVID and sharing how their families have been, their ages 4 to 7. So they have wonderful stories. And so you brought so much joy. One of the things that we talked about in our room that was important is the choice to decide how we receive information. And I just want to thank you, Jill. You did such a beautiful job with receiving that family's concern and helping them understand so that they felt safe. And I think creating that safety is important. And both of us in our room spoke to that and talked to that. And just remembering that the more questions we ask, then the clearer it comes between people.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who in their room came up with how they approach? I'm sure so many of us are having a lot of these conversations. Did something come up with someone else about how they approach hearing and holding these big conversations?
Anyone that would like to speak, I think you can unmute yourselves.
In our group, we talked about the importance of listening without trying to convince somebody to our way of thinking and respect other people's opinions, especially those who are different from ours. And that's how we can learn.
Mm. Yeah.
In our group, we all spoke about having to stop and think before we move on. That's just such a good lesson and reminder.
Let's see, in our group, we talked about restorative justice and the use of peace circles. And that's basically what I'm involved in, and trying to create restorative practices much in the line they do in Ireland. Ireland has been very successful in putting restorative practices into the schools, into the welfare agencies, and into the policing. So basically, we're talking about restorative justice, which is really a basic way we need to go if we're going to create a system of equal justice.
Walter, did you say in Ireland?
I'm not in Ireland, but I work with people in
Ireland. No, I'm saying that's where it's working? Because I haven't heard that. I'm going to look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll contact Claire Casey. Claire Casey works with the Initiative for Children in Dublin.
Thank you so much. That's beautiful information.
Well, let me add this. They've been so successful that the EU is taking their courses that they teach the average person, turning them into a college credit course that'll be available to every student in the European Union at free of cost. Mm-hmm. And what I'm working on is trying to work with Claire to try to get that program set up so we can teach it online everywhere, including in the United States.
What was the organization?
It's a government organization, the Childhood Initiative for Children. And it's, but she runs the Restorative Justice Program out of Dublin. And there's a, she's in a suburb. But if you check Initiative for Children and Restorative Justice in Ireland, you'll eventually get to her, but Claire Casey, C-A-S-E-Y.
Thank you, Walter. Beautiful. I love all this work on behalf of children.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, one more thing about children. Jill had shared a link to the video that the kids created, and I just pasted it into the chat. Also, just to, I'm going to paste a few other links in the chat. One is to the Peace Alliance, for those of you who are new to the Peace Alliance. Also, the link to our podcasts, our Peace On podcasts. All of these calls are recorded in podcasts, and also our national monthly calls and some other things. We currently have an initiative called the Blueprint for Peace, which is a way through one action you can notify all of your state and federal elected officials that you want them to support policy that supports our five cornerstones of peace building. And last is our donate link. We would, our small nonprofit would always appreciate donations, however large or small. So thank you so much for being here today. And I'm going to hand off to Liz to close for us.
Can I say one thing before we finish?
Sure.
If you want to get a hold of Claire Casey, I'm going to give you an email address.
Great, thanks.
It would be as follows, book, B-O-O-K, Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, 1962, at Gmail. Again, B-O-O-K, Casey, C-A-S-E-Y, 1962, at Gmail. Just tell her I sent you.
I will. So my job now, right, is to weave us into our closing. And I want to take a thread that was handed to me by Jill and a thread by Walter and a thread by my own children. Those of you who may have been on the calls know that, you know, my sons and I really talk about myths, the modern myths, the Harry Potter myths, the world of X-Men and that. And there was a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy, and the hero of the story lost his mother when she was young, but she left him an awesome mixtape, right, of her songs and songs that she wanted to guide him. So my own sons asked me if I would do that. And so a couple of years ago, I did that. But in the last week, we decided to create a specific awesome mixtape of songs for healing in this moment. And I was listening to it right before it came on. So Jill, when you talked about what the children need, right? And Walter, I was called to you because my own grandfather was very much involved in Ireland in the revolution in 1916 and came to America because he wanted to find ways to create peace without violence. You know, so that became his field. And the song that I was listening to right before I got on the call, if any of you know, Tina Turner had a song called We Don't Need Another Hero. I don't know if you know that song, right? But I invite you to look for it. And part of it, it takes place in one of the Mad Max movies in this world where there was violence all around the children. And I just want to leave you with one of the lines, right? We are the children, the last generation. We are the ones they left behind. And I wonder when we are ever going to change. Living under fear. We don't need another hero. We don't need to know the way home. All we want is life beyond Thunderdome. And what I loved about kind of what you both said, right, is a lot of children today are born into the chaos, born into the violence. And what they really just want is life beyond that. You know, and I love, Jill, how you're providing the tools. And I'm really excited, Walter, to explore the tools. So I wanted to just kind of think of that moment. How do we move beyond this moment into that place of great hope that so many of us are working towards? And I'm thankful for you to engage in these difficult conversations that help us move forward connected. I'm really thankful to you guys in this moment.
Everyone feel free to unmute yourself, say goodbye, and thank you so much, everyone. And thank you, Jill, for joining
us.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, David. Thank you, bye. Have a beautiful rest of your weekend.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.